ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, ladies and gentlemen, and boys, and little girls, some little boys, yes, ladies and gentlemen, and boys, thank you very much for coming today to this program of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. We are not here to impose something upon you. You may find this term Krishna consciousness, someone may find it to be threatening. That, oh my goodness, somebody wants to indoctrinate me into Krishna consciousness. You don't have to be afraid that we're going to try to indoctrinate you. Because Krishna consciousness is not a process of indoctrination. Krishna consciousness is just the opposite. Krishna consciousness is a process of de-indoctrination. In other words, since the moment we were born in this material world, we have been indoctrinated in so many ways to think that I am this body, that I am male, to think that I am female, to think that I am white, to think that I am black, to think that I am American or Indian or Bengali or Bangladeshi. This is indoctrination. Actually, the self has nothing to do with this material anymore. So, we are not here to indoctrinate anyone. We are here rather to de-indoctrinate everyone. To bring you back to your original, pure, natural state of consciousness before so many loose preconceptions were programmed into you. That's what we're doing. All we're really saying, sometimes they ask me, what is your philosophy? Our philosophy is very simple. Know who you are and be who you are. It really boils down to that. That's what Krishna consciousness philosophy is in a nutshell. Know who you are and be who you are. Know who you are, that is called jnana. And be who you are, that is called vijnana. So that's all really, that's the sum and substance of our Krishna consciousness practice and action. Know who you are and be who you are. So how does one do that? To know who we are is difficult because we've been programmed to think so many false things about who we actually are. Mm-hmm. We've been indoctrinated with so many false conceptions of self. So the first thing we have to do is hear from a realized source to find out who we actually are. There are three sources of realized knowledge, and any one of them will be good for you. The first one mentioned is Guru, the spiritual master. If you can hear from a bona fide spiritual master, you can open your mind up, submissively hear what he's saying. And just by the power of his words entering into your ears, if you allow them to enter your heart, simply by his words, you'll become liberated. The power of his words. That's the first dimension, Guru, spiritual master. And the second one is called sadhus. Sadhus means the saintly teacher. It's like here there are many devotees in this ashram, Bhagavad Gita College. They are sadhus. By hearing from the sadhus, we get the same benefit. Because the sadhus will enlighten us in spiritual knowledge. By hearing the words of the sadhus, then we also become liberated. But what if I'm living at a distance and I don't have time to see the guru or to see the sadhus? Then the third item is called shastra. It's like we have Bhagavad Gita as it is. If you don't have this book, kindly take one home to you tonight and do some donation for the penny. Everyone must have a copy of Bhagavad Gita every day. Because by studying this book and reading the words of Krishna as they have been so wonderfully explained also by Arthandracharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Ji, Nandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, then you will get enlightenment, guaranteed. You will hear from the spiritual master, you will hear from the sadhus, and if you will study carefully Bhagavad Gita as it is, then we absolutely guarantee you that you'll become realized. You'll become a spiritually enlightened being. You may say, well, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, I have a family to support. I'm really afraid. I don't want to become a spiritually enlightened being. What will happen to my job? But you don't have to worry in this regard. Because Arjuna became the most spiritually enlightened being. Actually, he wanted to quit his job to become spiritually enlightened. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, I quit. He threw down his bow and arrows and said, I'm not going to do my job. I refuse to. I just want to meditate. But Krishna told him, no, you do your job, but that should be for my pleasure and satisfaction, not for your own sense gratification. So we are not, when we enlighten you in Krishna consciousness, we are not going to take you away from your family. We're not going to take you away from your job. We're going to teach you how to relate with your family, how to relate with your career, your livelihood, in such a way that you become more and more enlightened, illumined, and blissful and peaceful, day by day, week by week, year after year. Well, you'll become a powerful, brilliant sun of Krishna consciousness, that anyone who comes in contact with you will become blessed. We will teach you how to become a sadhu, a saint, a devotee of the Lord. So that anyone who meets you will become blessed by your association. So this is Krishna consciousness. So tonight we have a very special verse that Krishna has chosen for us. Actually, I just opened the book to see what verse would come up. Just let it pop open. So Krishna has given one verse. Chapter 8, text number 16. Avramabhuvanaloka Pundaravarjinojuna Mahrupekshitakamcheya Punarjamanidhyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all the places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. The one who attains to my abode, O Son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Punar janma nividyata. Prabhupada has given a very nice report. All kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional perfection in bhakti yoga, or Krishna consciousness, before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain to the highest material planets, the planets of the demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher planets, people on higher planets such as Brahmalok, Chandralok, and Indralok fall down to earth. Practice of sacrifice called Panchakmi Vidya, recommended in the Vijaya Yoga Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahma Loka. But if on Brahma Loka, now Brahma Loka is the highest planet in the material world. So you can follow the injunction of Vijaya Yoga Upanishad and you can go to Brahma Loka. But Krishna made the point here that it's not worth it. Because it's only a temporary position. That planet of Lord Rama, which is the highest planet in this material world, is destroyed at the time of the universal ascension. Just like we go to buy a house. They have in Austin, the appraisers will know this area is prone to flooding. So we buy a house in that area, and then you have to know you're running the risk of having your house swept away by the flood. So a savvy home buyer would not buy a flood prone area. Why take a chance? The insurance never covers everything. And the household having their home swept away. So this entire material world is a flood plain. And from time to time, the devastation comes along. It completely sweeps everything away. The whole thing is wrapped up into the body of karma, karma, marana, vishayishu, mahavishu. The whole thing is wrapped up. So why would you want to buy a house that's going to be swept away by the universe of devastation? Why would you want to go and execute severe penance and austerity, following the Chandyoga Upanishad, to achieve a planet which will be destroyed? Is that intelligent? That's foolish. So we should take advice here and what we should do instead. So Prabhupada continued and said, Vayaham Ramaloka, one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, he must return to earth. That's another point. That even if Ramaloka were to return, which is not, but even if it were to return, you cannot stay there. Because as soon as you exhaust the result of the pious activities you accrued by following the injunctions in which I'm yoga punished, then you lose it. Just like you can save up your money, you can go to Acapulco, fancy hotel, looking at the beach. But once your credit card is maxed out, you better come back. You can't stay there once your credit card is maxed out. So, you may accrue all kinds of pious assets that are from above, or any heavenly plan described in the book. But sooner or later, your karma will run out, and you'll be dragged down the karma chakra to the earth. And you're reporting to working on the money. So an intelligent person is not the best of his time and energy in trying to achieve Brahma Loka or any heavenly plan. See, that's not an intelligent person. An intelligent person thinks, what is the best utilization of my time and energy? So I can achieve a destination from which there is no coming back. So Krishna here is giving it. Prabhupada elaborates, those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets, and at the time of universal devastation transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse, Brahma sava te sarve samprapte prati samchate parasyante krita mana pradeshanti brahmatam. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planes according to their desires. You may say, well, that's fine. I'll just go to Brahma Loka and from there I'll go back to God. Well, you know it's not guaranteed. There are people who fall from Brahma Loka. In fact, Brahma himself falls from Brahma Loka. Comes down and takes up lower and lower forms. You may be surprised to hear in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that our first birth in this material world, you know this. Our first birth is as Lord Brahma. Do you know that you were Lord Brahma in previous life? Did you know that? Dr. Haridas, do you know you were Lord Brahma in previous birth? You were Lord Brahma, and now you're Lord Brahma. You're struggling with
don't remember, obviously. Obviously, it's horrible to be in prison. Remember our lives of every month and be intolerant, be intolerant. So we'll forget it. But the fact is, we all come down from Avalokita to this present incarnation that we're in. So going to Avalokita is not the answer. It didn't solve our problems before being in Avalokita. And it won't solve our problems now. We want to have all our problems solved. The solution is very, very simple. Simply, we have to go back to God. Go back to Krishna. Go back to the Supreme Word. The Supreme Word is there. The Eternal God is there. And simply waiting for us to come back to Him. Actually, we are all His beloved children. Krishna, our God, wants us back much more than we want to. And He's making all facilities for us to come back. Yadaya Dahi Dharmasha Glanya Bhavati Bharata Abhyuta Maham. In this way, Krishna is making all arrangements. He comes again and again. Personally, He comes to rescue His beloved children. And when He doesn't personally come, He sends His pure devotees like Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He comes in His most merciful incarnation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes in the form of His name. This is called Nama Avatara. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, you can directly associate with God. You want to meet God, chant Hare Krishna. You can directly meet God. Hare Krishna, is Krishna Himself. Govakya, Prema Dhamma, Hari Nama Sankirtana. This Hare Krishna Mantra is imported in the world of God. It is the most exotic of all imports. Everyone likes to go to the import stores to see what kind of exotic goods are available from all corners of the world. But here is the most exotic good. It comes from far, far, far beyond this material history. There is nothing so sweet. There is nothing so sublime. There is nothing more valuable. Nothing more inconceivably delicious than these 16 names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Other gurus, they charge money for their people. I went in such a group. And that was back in 1968. They had a special discount for students. It was $30. That was a lot of money in those days. That was my monthly rent in 1968. I paid 1 month's rent to get the mantra from the guru. And it didn't do anything. It didn't work. I was ripped off. 1 month from then, lost. The cheating guru came. He took my money. He gave me a mantra that was useless. Actually, his mantra was in the Vedic. But why do I say it was useless? You know why it was useless? You know what the Vedic injunction is? Sampradaya Adhinaya Mantrashtra Nishpala. Those of you who are Indian, you know what Nishpala means. No fruits, no result. The Vedic mantra says that if the guru is not in a bona fide line of succession, he's not an authorized spiritual master, then the mantra he gives you, nishphala, no result. Nish means no, and phala means spiritual result. Nishphala, no result. The only result is your bank account will go down and become diminished. As a guru, you will become richer and you will become poorer. As he mentioned the other day, in the Quran, as it is stated, that it is very easy to find a guru who can take your hot money. That's very simple. Many gurus will take your money. But to find a guru who can take away your anxiety, that is a guru. And those gurus guru can take all the anxiety away from my heart, make me completely happy. That is a bona fide spiritual master.
So such a bona fide spiritual master is required. If we actually want to achieve perfection and pay this to join, then we must take the shelter of guru. That if you want to know the transcendental science, then you must take shelter of guru. So you suppose that you could study Sanskrit grammar. Anybody study Sanskrit grammar? Any Sanskrit grammarians? Yeah. None here. So in Sanskrit grammar, there is the study those. But in Sanskrit grammar, there is the ending of the verb. According to the ending, the meanings change. Just like gacchanti means he, gacchati means he goes, gacchanti means they go. It's the same gach, but a different ending. So there's also an ending which is, means it's compulsive. It's the same gutch root. And it has the eva biggest check, and then it means you absolutely must do it. Now on this verse, it means it's compulsory. You cannot avoid it. Some people think, well, I will realize the truth from my own speculation. Good luck. I appreciate some of this from Texas. That's our my wife Shafia, sitting here in the meantime. We travel all over the location. We have our headquarters in Austin, Texas. And in Texas there's a saying. I don't know if they have that saying here in Kansas. But in Texas, cowboy boots are very popular. So there's a saying, you can't pick yourself up while you're on a bootstrap. You see, cowboy boots are very impractical and very hard to put on. Use the bootstraps on the special device sometimes to pull the boot under your foot. It's not made of running in out of the mud very easily. It's made for people who just want to ride a horse all day. Because now they don't ride horses, they just ride around in a pickup truck and they have a very good cowboy because they have a pickup truck. That's another thing. So, the saying is that you cannot pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, because you can pick up, but not that you don't need them. It takes someone else to pick you up. You can't pick yourself up. So in the same way, by your mental speculation, you cannot realize the truth. Not possible. Because you are in a state of illusion right now. That is our position. You see, we're in a state of illusion. In your present state of illusion, any mental speculation you do is illusory. So you don't have the power to live yourself out of mental speculation. Therefore, a guru is required. Because the guru is thinking, is enlightened thinking. The concepts that are spoken to us by the spiritual nature are not within the material nature. These concepts are coming from the spiritual nature. These concepts will illuminate us, they will pick us up, they will enlighten us with transcendental knowledge. Therefore we pray, Om Yami Ramusha Gunamjana Shalaka Chakshur Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shivuravena. I offer my respectful obeisance and the lotus feet of my beloved spiritual master, who has so kindly come to me, who am in the darkness of ignorance. He is forcing my eyes to open this torchlight of transcendental knowledge. So by the mercy of Guru, Guru means an enlightened spiritual being. He doesn't think and speak in terms of the material nature. He thinks and speaks in terms of the spiritual nature. So by having the shelter of the guru, the bona fide
are elevated beyond the illusory situation within the three modes of material nature. So this is why the Dhaka Upanishad says it's compulsory. And it's also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmat Gurum Bhagyeva Jigyashu Shreyatam. If you want to achieve that Shreya Uttama, Shreya means good thing. Uttam means the supreme. If you want to achieve the supreme good, that which is the topmost of all achievement, then again, you must address the one that is the master, the shelter of him by initiation. This is the statement we might talk about. So, Guru, he has that power. He has the empowerment of Krishna, he has the adhikara of Krishna, the empowerment of Krishna to deliver us from material existence. So we take advantage of the Guru because we hear very nicely the words, we render the service unto him, then he will reveal the truth to us. It's the state also of Krishna and Bhagavatam.
Information kick in. That's the right word. Will become
become manifest, the very soul. That's the super soul. If one very seriously follows one spiritual master, very seriously follows the sadhus, very seriously follows the scripture, then that fourth source of doubts will gradually become manifest within your heart. That is the Paramatma, the super soul. You will get direct instructions from the super soul when you reach a certain stage of perfection. So even though everything, how to do everything perfectly, you will come to the point when you no longer influence the four defects in this material world. You will become a perfect spiritual being, completely beyond the tendency to make mistakes. That will come in a very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. So right now we're neophytes. We're bumbling neophytes at best. Maybe we're not even near that far either. So we have to take all help, all guidance from Guru, from sadhus, and from Shastra to become nicely absorbed in Krishna consciousness and thus realize our eternal identity as spiritual beings in quality one with God. So that is our request to each and every one of you. We consider all of you to be great personalities because you have come to our temple. We don't think you are ordinary people. You are all very special people. Lord Krishna has sent you here for a purpose. You are all very, each and every one of you is a very, very special person. Krishna sent you here. Now we hope you can take advantage of Krishna's arrangement to bring you here. Try to understand what does Krishna want you to do in our good life. We hope you very seriously pray to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, please guide me and know what I should do with my life. I belong to you. Henceforward, I'm simply your servant. Be kindly engaged in your jiva. We hope you all pray that way today before you leave. We let Krishna take control of your life. So that you will not, if you do that, completely and totally, I absolutely guarantee you, you will not take birth again. I guarantee you. If you fully give your heart to Krishna, totally surrender him, you will not take birth again. So if you haven't already made that commitment to Krishna, and from now on I have no one to serve except you, my Lord, kindly make that commitment today and follow you. So you will not have to take birth again. That commitment has to be made in the heart, and then you have to learn how to actually do it. Spiritual master will teach you, the devotees here will teach you, Baba, the books will teach you how to do it. So make the commitment, and then see how to actually make it practical. You know, okay, by taking the spiritual master's guidance, the devotees' guidance, and the scripture's guidance. So, some of you might ask a question. We can open it up now for discussion on these topics, if you have any questions.
Yes.
She's a little much.
Need to adjust it?
Yeah. Questions?
So the question is
say without the bhakti being exchanged. So let us consult the Shastra for an answer to this question. We look in the wonderful Vedic text known as Sri Ishopanishad. We carefully look through the verses and we go to text number 11. What do we read there? Who knows that text? Text 11. Divyam cha divyam cha yas tad devo divyam saha divyayam isam tirva divyam vidamashinta. Only that person who is not an extremist, who balances the material and spiritual sides nicely, can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and attain the full blessings of immortality. So the spiritual master is not going to assume the extremists. You want them to be very well balanced. You see, when you walk down the street, you do half on one foot. You walk on two legs. The stream doesn't need you hopping on one foot or the other. Either way, if the stream is hopping on your right foot or left foot, it doesn't matter. So someone who is simply doing material activities, nothing else, they're just hopping on one foot. And someone who wants nothing but the footing lacks everything material and just says he just wants to do the spiritual activity. Of course, a highly advanced soul can do that. But the neophyte cannot imitate the highly advanced way. Prabhupada explains how Ramanathas Goswami was living on one pat of butter every other day. And he said, don't try to artificially imitate Ramanathas Goswami. So for you, that would be extremism. To try to imitate, to either be a complete materialist, that's one form of extremism, or try to artificially imitate a liberated soul. Either way, you're hopping on one foot, or by the left foot, down the road. You should balance your material and spiritual activities very nicely. So how do you do that? You have to consult the spiritual master. How do you want me to conduct my life, my daily affairs, my life plans? And you can consult the spiritual master and see exactly how Guru Maharaj wants you to prosecute your life's activity. He will make sure that you're not extreme. You're well balanced, you see. Just like an art student may think, well, I'm a devotee now, so I will only make things Krishna, nothing else. But that may cause some disturbance. The person who's paying your education doesn't appreciate Krishna consciousness so much. So then one has to use some discretion. Well, I can do a painting of Govardhan Hill. You see? And that something was a quaint looking mountain. So you're still Krishna conscious, but at the same time, you've been aware of the material nature and how you can deal with it in such a way that you don't become unnecessarily disturbed in the material nature side. This is called dhamma, not going to extreme. One has to have intelligence and discretion. It is stated that discretion is the better part of valor. So the Bodhi is meant to be valiant, the great hero. But you dealing with all matters. But you cannot be valiant or possessing a person possessing valor unless you possess discretion also. You have to have the intelligence to know when to act in a certain way and when not to act in a certain way. So how does the neophyte get that discretion? You have to associate with Guru and the senior devotees. Sometimes people will complain to Prabhupada. It was a famous letter. It's in the Science of Self-Realization, the letter to Lynn Ludwig, and you all read that letter. She met a devotee in the Kmart parking lot. And the devotee was really happy. felt it was too much, so she complained to Prabhupada that he should hand-pick the pieces of heaven to be sent out to the parking lot. That's what she was saying. Hand-pick the pieces of heaven. She was calling the devotees pieces of heaven. She was saying you should hand-pick when you send out to the books. She was telling Prabhupada how to run his book. But Prabhupada gave a very nice answer to her. Well, the neophyte devotee will naturally be fanatical because you can't really avoid it. You know. A neophyte devotee will naturally be extreme. If you're trying to totally cut off all of your attachment to everything that is entangled, you don't have sufficient maturity to see Krishna within everything, and everything within Krishna yet. So it's natural for neophyte to be extreme. But as you mature, you have to mellow out. You have to develop a very balanced vision of everything. How to see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. I mean, Prabhupada himself told it. Lhasa Om, the Vajna Shushyavya, Pranavata Samavya, Shushyavya, Kevashya. Krishna is the light of the sun. He protects the body, the light of the moon, the ability of man. So in this way, cultivate a very clear vision about Krishna. In this way, you can be a well-balanced devotee. You can always feel solidly connected with Krishna and always be like a lighthouse in the dark night of Kali Yuga for those people you associate with. Help them come to Krishna. I'll just play you an example. Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan, you notice? He said that if you simply behave as very nice Vaishnavas, when the local people respect you, they will automatically make an answer just by respecting you. So all of our ISKCON members, we're respecting all of our ISKCON members. You should all become very nice ladies and gentlemen. And this way, people like you. Oh, this Hare Krishna is so nice. It's so wonderful person. Just by appreciating you, they will automatically make spiritual things. Even if they don't chant Hare Krishna, they just like you. They will make advance in Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we want you to not be extremist. Become very dumb, become a perfect lady or a perfect gentleman, also. So, maybe we squeeze one more question in. Yeah?
You just mentioned breaking off, if you put it at previous attachments that entangled us. And sometimes when we're coming to the room, and we also get the instruction to dovetail whatever it is that we do.
This is why we need superior guides, sadhus and gurus. Because there are so many time and place considerations. Sometimes it will be helpful to use that in Krishna service. Sometimes it's better to walk away from it. Depends. It really depends on the individual situation. You can't make a blanket policy. That's the point. It has to be judged according to the specific situation. If you're strong enough in Krishna consciousness, to use it for Krishna without being carried away by it, then it's okay. It's good. But if you're so attached to the mundane aspect of it, and you try to dovetail it, you just get swept away. And it's not good. It really depends on your own maturity. As it is said, one man's food, another man's poison. If you're mature enough to handle that, then it's fine. If you're not, the better you put your, whatever it is, aside for a while. Put it in the closet, lock it in the closet for a year or two. Think, well, when I get more mature, then I'll use this for Krishna. You can plan on using it for Krishna. This is an example. not saying you have to do that, but just saying this is an example. If you're strong enough that you can use it in a very pure and spiritual way, then it's okay. Question one? Anything else? We've got time, we've got another couple of minutes here. Anybody on the internet have a question? We have a reminder that this is being broadcast on the internet.
They can't hear.
They can't.
I'm trying to get it
tomorrow. Oh, it's not coming through properly. Next time you should have it available so they go all over the world on the internet.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And other higher planets. And starting in 1969, we had several landings on the moon that were filmed on television. And then a few years back, we had a...
I'm hard of hearing. Why don't you come right here and tell me right here, then I can hear you. The microphone will make it worse. Okay, just come here and tell me, and then I'll repeat it to everyone.
Well, starting in 1969.
69.
Yeah. Okay. We had several landings on the moon that were filmed on television.
Okay.
And a few years back, we had a rover on Mars that was filming live pictures from Mars, and it looked like Arizona.
Okay.
So the scientists in NASA said they definitively proved that there is no intelligent life on any higher planet. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But this nice gentleman has pointed out that the scientists claim they definitively proved there's no life on the planet. The difficulty is that their conception of life is based on the light we see here. That's the problem. Their conception of what is life is very narrow. And their ability also to perceive what is life is very narrow. It's like, you know, they have those special dog whistles that you and I cannot hear, but the dog can hear. There's infrared rays we cannot see, but the instrument we can detect. So there's far more out there that we can't see, but our ability to perceive is very limited and very narrow spectrum. So we may go to the moon and look out at a vast wasteland. But a moon being, he can see a vast civilization with thousands of buildings and thousands of people, because he has the ability to see what we've done. But we don't see it because our senses don't have a vital perception. Just because the scientists don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. All they're saying is that in our limits of perception, we don't see life. That's all they can really say. They don't want to admit that their perception is limited, but the fact is it's very limited. So that's the answer. So now, by observing the RT ceremony, we can broaden our perception.